Samuel, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in that time and visions weren't widely known. What I think the writer of 1 Samuel is trying to tell us is basically that people weren't listening. God was talking, nudging all people all the time. It wasn't that God wasn't sending out visions or his word, it's that the people weren't hearing him. And isn't that what is perhaps going on today? God speaking, calling, nudging us, but do we hear him? Hannah, Samuel's mother, was desperate. She wasn't able to have children, and she very much wanted to be a mother, so she took a chance. She promised God that if she could have a son, she would dedicate him to God's service. She became pregnant and had a son who she named Samuel, which means God heard. She kept her promise to God, and Samuel grew up in the temple from a very young age. He lived in the temple, slept in the temple. He helped the high priest Eli take care of the temple. The Bible says Samuel slept in the same room as the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And if you remember, the Ark of the Covenant was where the power of God was most present. Samuel was about 12 years old at the time. And when God first called to him, he thought it was Eli who was calling him. He wasn't expecting God to speak. Finally, Eli realized that it was the Lord calling the boy. Then Samuel went back and laid down, waiting, listening carefully for God's voice. Let's be honest, it can be risky to ask God to speak because it changes our lives if we listen. Because no matter the details of the call, God always calls us away from self and selfishness and into a new life lived in love for God and our neighbour. We aren't always good listeners, are we? And it's a problem, obviously, in the relationships that we have with other people. So just imagine what a problem it is when it comes to having a relationship with God. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 15 doesn't say Samuel went back to sleep after God spoke to him, but it seems to imply he lay in his bed and thought about what God had told him. He meditated on God's word, and then when the time came, he spoke God's word to Eli and later to all Israel. He took the time to digest what God had told him, and then proved the truth of God's word by putting it into practice. And verse 19 says, "So Samuel grew up, and the Lord was with him, not allowing any of his words to fail." So clearly the emphasis of 1 Samuel chapter 3 is on listening. God continually calls to us. It can be through awakening events like fire in a mountain bush, a pillar of cloud, a potter at his wheel. And in moments like these, God beckons us to a new dimension of closeness with him. Sometimes he causes the experiences, but more often he uses them as a door on which to knock. God desires to transform certain experiences that we have into awakening events. They can be quite common experiences, but if we let them, we can wake up to the fact that Emmanuel, God with us, is still God's name, and he is here and now. Every event carries the hidden possibility of a word coming from God. And something that happens to us, which seems quite ordinary, can extraordinarily make us think of God. And it's important to say that there are distinct experiences that seem to evolve into real-life changing spiritual awakenings. epiphany moments when God comes and knocks, and the event gives rise to a new way of being, to a new journey of love and intimacy with him. Sometimes they're wonderfully pleasant moments. Sometimes they can also be painful. We all have these precipitating events in our lives that launch us into holy, unforeseen newness. God also comes in ordinary moments of time, and quietly our spiritual life begins to deepen and grow and resonate anew. Every awakening to God begins with a knock, which is the calling voice of God. We don't wake ourselves up, only God can do that. But there are things that we can do to help us hear him. We start by listening, by being silent. God calls us, as it's written in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." But silence isn't a vacuum, a nothingness. It's actually not passive, but active. So being quiet before God will mean being vulnerable. If I wear a mask and I never let my guard down, then I'll probably never be very present with God on a deep, deep level. To be vulnerable before God is to be honest before him, revealing who we really are, what we're really thinking, where we're really at. And remember, God loves us as we are. I can be vulnerable with God, knowing that he won't pull away from me because I'm not perfect. Covering my problems with a stiff upper lip, nothing gets me down because I'm a Christian, only gets in the way of my relationship with God. So we must be vulnerable. We must also be open, willing to pause, to clear away the distractions, the inhibitions, and whatever else fills our minds, and stand before God, willing to let him in. God dwells wherever people let him in. So we start our prayers, "Come, Lord Jesus, I open myself to you." We need to be present, to consciously remind ourselves that we really do know that God is here and now, living in this present moment. I might not be able to feel him yet, but I know he's here, and I know that I'm with him. So I need to give him my full attention and awareness to be all there. Sometimes I begin my prayers by saying, "The Lord is here, his presence is with me." Relating in this way isn't as difficult as it might sound. This is the way Jesus undertook life. In his encounters with people and with God, we see him focusing on them with total awareness. He dwells on one person at a time. He gave himself over to them at that moment. And there was a compelling, nourishing, even exciting edge to his encounters. And when we're being all there, we cultivate self-forgetfulness and we allow the one before us to become all, losing thought and awareness of ourselves. This is something we develop. We develop it, we expand it. It's essentially the power to tune in to another with love and listening and awareness, while becoming less conscious of ourselves. So the aim of silence is to create an attitude of listening to God. Inside our silence, we seek that encounter, a dialogue, participation in his presence. So learning to hear his whisper is the most delicate miracle of all. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears..." That little word, "if," says a great deal to us, doesn't it? It says God speaks, he knocks, but perhaps we won't hear him. And I think sometimes we are tempted to stop listening because it's more often than not a slow motion experience. I can't help but remember the day Alexandra planted her very first flowers in the garden. The next morning, her flowers obviously weren't up, so she decided that something had eaten the seeds, and that's what she kept saying. We need patience when we're listening to God. We might even think that we're wasting our time, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Last summer, I stepped out into the garden in the darkness of night, and quietness welled around me. At first, it seemed there was no sound at all. But as I sat down and settled and entered the silence, I did become aware then of birds rustling in the trees, a hedgehog snuffling, other night animals. Beneath the cloak of darkness, there was hidden life. And that's the way it is with the silence of God. So entering this silence, we enter with sensitivity. We listen with our hearts by putting up sensors for God's words hidden around us and within us. We listen for him in the sights and sounds, thoughts, feelings, awarenesses that occupy our silence. What might God be saying to you through that irritable old man who's feeding the pigeons? What might God be saying to you through the child who skips? What does he say to you through your reluctance to forgive or your inclination to visit a friend? We need to listen deeply and creatively and allow our vision to be changed. We listen also like a child. Sometimes we fail to hear God because our ears are filled with grown-up disbelief. We're closed off to the mystery of his spirit moving across the surface of each day. We hear what we've grown accustomed to hearing and nothing more. We all know that children are very much open to mystery and wonder. So we need to become like little children, Jesus told us, to see his kingdom. We need to listen with wonder and a willingness to let go of our deafness to anything that's out of the ordinary. A little boy was allowed for the first time to listen to his heart beating through a stethoscope. He was amazed. And when asked what he thought that strange tapping in his chest was, smiled and said, "Is that Jesus knocking?" How wondrous and open-ended life becomes when we look at something as commonplace and familiar as the thump in our chest and hear God in it. Look at the world with wonder. Take time to see and hear God in his creation. When we're willing to stop and look and step out of the busy activities of our day to see what is around us, believe me, we'll be surprised. Listen too with expectancy. We need to listen for God the way a parent listens for their daughter when she's late. That is when we hear the sound hidden in the sound. God's voice is like the still, small sound buried in a seashell. And it's only when we become quiet and we cup our ear to his presence that we can hear his gentle whisper in our lives. And finally, we listen with vision. If I put a big spoon in a pond and I peer into the contents, well, I'll only see a few milliliters of murky water. But that's only a superficial perception. There is more than meets the eye. Deep in that water lives a tiny universe, swimming amoeba in diatoms, minuscule eggs, algae with chloroplasts, I have no idea what they are, but I looked it up. They're in the water, believe me. Hidden objects, all of them, and they're all there for me to discover. And the pond is a puzzle of invisibles, just like life. To really see is to look beyond the murky surface of people, things, events, to the inner reality, to the life and presence churning deep within us. It's to look with vision, insight, sensitivity, and to look profoundly into everything. Dyer de Chardin said that we must believe that everything is charged with the possibility of God's presence. We need faith, even if it's small as a mustard seed. We need to practice. God is in all things. Let us pray. O Lord, thank you